This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Hello, everyone. This is Well, brought to you for another week by the Victorian AIDS Council. I'm Adam, and tonight my special, very, very special co-host and guest is Daniel, the volunteer coordinator from VAC. Welcome, Daniel, to Well. I can't believe that we haven't had you on before.
Yes, 5 years at VAC, and this is my first time on radio. Thanks.
Outrageous. Why would you miss the opportunity, my dear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, let me tell you guys and Daniel of what Well is all about. So it's all about sex, health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community.
So, Adam, what's on the show tonight?
There are many topics. I kind of call it a bit of a mixed bag of goodies, actually. So the listeners will get the chance to hear about National Volunteers Week, which actually starts today. Yay to volunteers, everyone out there who volunteers, so many people doing so well. And what that means to VAC, and we're going to get some VAC volunteers to come in and sort of chat about their experiences, what it means to actually be a volunteer. But then later in the show, we'll actually be chatting with the president of Living Positive Victoria, Richard Keane, who'll be filling us all in about the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial.
So if people wanted to get involved in the conversation or ask a question of the guests, how can they?
A plethora of ways. And yes, that is just for you, Tex, a plethora of ways. So the most direct ways is to email us here at onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427 joy949, both of which we get here we get here directly into the studio, so it comes straight into us and it bypasses everybody else. So I'm excited for the show. Are you excited
for
the show?
It'll be a good one, yeah.
Are you sure you're excited for the show?
I'm a little bit nervous, but
Little bit petrified, but that's okay. I'll look after you.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Rebecca Ferguson, Glitter and Gold. So I've got Daniel finally after 5 years in the studio. Well, as seeing as how you're the volunteer coordinator and it's National Volunteers Week, it kind of just made sense
to
me.
Seems the right time, that's right.
So how important are our volunteers? Because obviously we've got a large volunteer basis, but how many do you estimate that we've got? Because people throw around numbers like we've got active ones, we've got past ones, we've got current ones. Like,
and I'm about to do exactly the same thing.
Oh, are you?
Because that's a really hard question to answer. We've really got, I suppose, volunteers involved in lots of different areas. We involve corporate volunteers as well from organisations like ANZ and NAB. We also expand our volunteer pool for times like World AIDS Day. We recruit around 100 volunteers, and even AIDS 2014 saw us recruit 150 volunteers, which is phenomenal. So we definitely expand to meet the demand. We've got approximately...
So are we plussing those, or are we like saying that volunteers are doing lots of different things at VAC?
In roundabout figures, let's say we've got around 700 volunteers on the books, which is really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And around 350 of those are active at any one given time. And to come back to the point, they're really important to what we do. They're integral. So we involve them in everything we do at VAC. And the organisation, as you well know, is founded on volunteerism. So it's what makes us different and I suppose makes us stand out against some of the other state-based AIDS councils.
But it's great that we've got a combination of, I guess, corporate volunteers and also people that are really passionate about it. Sort of it's crossing the divide, really, and also providing corporate volunteers with probably information and awareness
that
they wouldn't come
across. There's a lot of education that happens when we're running those sessions, absolutely. Some new facts that they learn, and they take that back to their own communities and workplaces as well, which is really, really important.
Yep. And so for someone to actually become a volunteer at VAC, obviously, like, you can't just go and get a job at a bank and be like, hey, I'd like to volunteer for VAC, but what training do they need to have Or what's the process of becoming, I guess, a general VAC volunteer to
start
off with?
Yep, community volunteer. So we certainly don't ask them to have done any training before they join us, but we offer them with comprehensive training. So we run a core induction training, which covers all the basics that they need to know. So a foundation course on HIV, I suppose, HIV 101, and then we cover other things that are important to them. So
yeah, I wrote that HIV 101 training.
You did?
I did.
Let's get you back. Let's get you back running it. And other important things like confidentiality, and also boundaries, stigma and discrimination. And probably the most powerful part of the induction is actually where volunteers hear from the Positive Speakers Bureau, so people living with HIV. Just adds a bit of context to the work they might be doing at VAC. But depending on the area that volunteers want to move into, they might need to do more training. So if they're wanting to do VAC Reach, for example, we've got specialised training that happens in our health promotion team, and in community support as well is backed up. So they might do more training throughout their journey.
And so, I guess what volunteering opportunities are available? Because there's probably a wealth of different types of roles or different types of placements that people could take. So, yeah.
And because VAEC,
breakdown.
Yeah, because we do so much, there's lots of different roles available. So opportunities as diverse as in our counselling team, we have volunteer counsellors. We have people who work in our policy area. Volunteers also help us out in the HALC, which is our HIV and AIDS legal centre. And of course, VAC does lots of works, and our volunteers support us in our events, our administration roles, our kitchens, in our outreach, now called VAC Reach.
Yep.
our drivers as well in community support help people get to their appointments. And that's all done out of our centres, so the Positive Living Centre, and also our head office at Peter Knight Centre. But obviously lots of that work is done within the community as well.
And so how do you sort of say, hey, you'd be really good here, but maybe not so good here? Or do people sort of pick a preference in terms of, well, this is my background, this is my experience, this is probably where I could do the best or the most impact or have the most impact?
And I suppose the important point to mention there is that some people might have a skill and they want to bring that to the organisation, and other people want to do something totally different other than their work that they do already. So it's definitely a process. There's no computer system that does that for us. So we interview volunteers, we talk to them, you know, they come along to an information session, we get to know them a bit better, and then we do kind of like very, very informal interviews to place them in the right area. And that's never fixed. People can move to other areas as well. So
is there an expectation of how many hours you need to kind of volunteer to actually be a volunteer per se?
It's really dependent on the role that they choose and want to go into. So some of the roles will have, only a few hours a week that they might want to do on a fortnightly basis or weekly basis, and they can pick the role that suits their availability. One of the things I've picked up on is people really have a desire to volunteer, but they've got limited time.
Yeah.
So we're trying to increase the amount of remote volunteering opportunities. So people can do it at home on their computer, do a project and send it in to us.
Yeah.
It is. And I mean, that's definitely the growth area for us and general in volunteering as well. And if people wanted to check out these opportunities, we actually do have them listed on the our website at vac.org.au. So one of the things we do is list what's called an opportunity directory, and it actually feeds right into our database, and that lists the role that the volunteers can do, a kind of a brief job description, I suppose, and then the contacts for that. And that's really good for people just wanting to look up information.
Okay, and so if they were just to get onto vac.org.au and look up volunteering, they'd find sort of what the next step is in terms of finding out more information or about the next training session or whatnot.
Yep, it's all there.
And so just to quickly wrap up, I guess, with you, because we're going to have other guests on as well.
Okay,
as I said,
I should stop talking. No,
loving it. So how does VAC involve themselves in National Volunteer Week?
Yep, sure.
Seeing as how it's International Volunteer Week.
And like, as you mentioned, it's National Volunteers Week.
Oh,
so,
national,
you've made it international now, but that's okay.
Joy is international.
Yes, yeah, we're going out to an international audience. This is it's when we stop, I suppose, to acknowledge our volunteers, and we do that as an organisation twice throughout the year with our end-of-year party, but also in National Volunteers Week. So for us, I suppose we get together, throw a big party on Friday, and we get all of our staff and also people who are important to our volunteers come along. We present them with length of service awards, which are pretty important to volunteers, and we're even celebrating someone's 30-year contribution to the organisation. So if I do the maths, that means that they were with the organisation 3 years after we started, and that's pretty powerful. So we've got the mayor coming along from City of Stonington, and he'll be handing out awards. We were also able to hit him up for free venue hire. So we've got the beautiful functions on chapel, courtesy of City of Stonington. But otherwise, it's really just the organisation getting together and stopping to say a big thank you for all the work that you do.
Fantastic.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're with myself, Adam, and Daniel. Chatting with us now are two volunteers from VAC, Honey and Raymond. So welcome. How are you guys going tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, we'll start off with one by one, I guess. So, Raymond, can you tell the listener and ourselves a little bit about yourself and what you've done for VAC as a volunteer?
Well, I've been volunteering for about 20 years. Oh, I retired when I was 40 and then come down with some medical problems and then gradually ended up joining VAC and been with them for about 6 years. And
so what sort of roles at VAC have you done volunteering-wise?
Yeah. I do driving.
Yep.
I drive clients to different hospitals and different appointments and things, and it's very rewarding for me, actually.
Well, I mean, 6 years is a long time to sort of be with a particular organisation. Is it the people like us that you just love, or is it actually the clients that really sort of make you consistently want to engage with us?
No, I work with a fantastic group of people, right?
Yeah.
So whether they're clients or their staff, everybody is fantastic there.
And so, Honey, I guess, can you share with us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing volunteering-wise at VAC?
Sure. I've been working in the disability sector around the peninsula for about 13 years, mainly with adults, which is always interesting and can be quite challenging. One thing I've noticed recently is there's nowhere that I know of in Victoria for a person who's gay and has a disability to socialise with like-minded people. There are various all-ability discos around, but nothing like the social groups that mainstream LGBTI have. I was very interested in the Rainbow Bridge Social Club in New South Wales that was recently on Insight, and that's my next agenda to follow up is to explore those contacts there. Yeah, so that's where I am at the moment.
And so I guess, does that mean that you're working in a disability capacity with VAC when you're volunteering?
Or no, not at all.
Well, okay, what type of roles are you doing at VAC volunteering?
Yeah, so I work in the kitchen on a Thursday night doing the dishes and helping serve the meals there.
Yeah.
And I also do events. I did helped at the Northside Bazaar at the Laird.
Yep.
And at the Drama Down Under exhibition, which was really good, did serving the food and stuff. That was fantastic.
Brilliant. So I guess, you know, a diversity of different roles.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
You know, I guess it sort of, I guess it doesn't keep it sort of monotonous and you get to kind of engage with different people and different stakeholders at different times.
Yeah, and on Thursday night, there's different volunteers each week as well. So there's not like the same group, like some come in weekly, some fortnightly, some once a month. So you get to, you know, mix and match lots of new people. And then when you do events, I'm mixing with other volunteers who work in other areas. So yeah, it's great.
And how long have you actually been volunteering with VAC?
Yeah, for a year. I did the induction course last May and then started straight away.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great, yeah. Well, it's great you stuck around. Obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, Daniel's doing his job correctly.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And we're talking about National Volunteers Week, not International Volunteers Week.
That's right.
Thanks for the correction on that one, Daniel. Won't have you back next week. Thanks. but we've got two VAC volunteers coming in. So I guess I'll just sort of pose these questions and either one of you wants to jump out at them. Well, I guess each one of you, I'd like to hear from, I guess, want to volunteer in general.
What made us want to volunteer?
Yeah.
I had a lot of health issues and there was always volunteers there to help me. So I decided to join and become a volunteer and give back.
And what about you, Honey?
Yeah, I wanted to educate myself about and contribute to a marginalised group that I didn't know very much about. And I didn't want to stay ignorant. I looked at Indigenous groups on the peninsula, but nothing really popped out at me. And then I found the VAC website.
Okay. And so what made you want to specifically volunteer with VAC then, I guess, right?
I just wanted to get some more information on HIV and all that sort of stuff, you know. And I have learned so much since I've joined in the 6 years. It's amazing, and I'm still learning.
Yeah, I guess, well, I mean, everything's always consistently evolving. We're learning as, you know, health educators and employees of the organisation working in the sector that I guess the same thing would happen with you guys in terms of engaging with clients and staff and other volunteers and new updates and whatnot. Mm. But I guess what is the most enjoyable aspect of volunteering, and I guess what's the most enjoyable part of volunteering with VAC?
Well, for me, at the end of the day, when I go home and have a cup of coffee and sit back and just realise that I've helped someone today, you know, and that for me is really enjoyable.
Okay. And what about you, Honey?
Yeah, I like the diversity of the people I meet and the range of life experiences that everyone has. And the more I get to know people, just finding out what their past experiences have been and, you know, how they can live in society and the, you know, the good stuff and the bad stuff that happens. Yeah. And I just, it's definitely a learning curve for me to understand what other people go through in an area that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But I just love that, like, we laugh the whole time when we're in the kitchen on Thursday nights. And as I said before, just meeting other volunteers, and even though we're all from somewhere different, we're all there for a main purpose, like one main goal. Yeah.
I'm right in saying the kitchen is one of the most social places to be at VAC, isn't it?
Love it. It's hilarious.
And so, Ray, you won the 2014 Minister for Health Volunteer Award. Tell us about it, because I don't think it's like a VAC giving you an award. Like, it's a health minister award. Like, it's got to be pretty exciting and sort of,
I guess, it was exciting.
Rewarding.
And it was very, very welcome. I really was happy to get it.
You weren't going to knock it back.
Wasn't going to knock it back. No, no.
And I heard you were even rubbing shoulders with Dr. Feelgood. Is that right?
Certainly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Sally Cockburn.
Yeah. And I said something to the minister, but I can't remember what it was that I said, but he wasn't happy.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess at certain stages you've got to, you know, be honest and sort of be yourself, and that's exactly why you're recognised and provided with the award. So, you know. But I guess if it was going to be, I guess, one specific thing that you would both tell people who are interested in volunteering, either with VAC or with another sort of not-for-profit organisation or a community organisation, what would be the best piece of advice you would give?
Do it. You get that much joy out of volunteering. It's amazing, yeah. But you've got to do it to experience it, you know. And, the best way, just volunteer. It doesn't have to be with their organisation, but just volunteer in general. You know, so.
And what about you, Annie?
Yeah, I think for me it's just opening yourselves to new opportunities and, you know, making new friendships. And it also, I find, working with VAC and working with disability, it makes you appreciate what you have as well. And, yeah, just like how we can help other people and get out of our own head and out of our own lives and just, you know, be a contributing member to society.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, thank you both very much for coming on and sort of sharing, I guess, your experiences and encouraging getting new people to sort of come through and join in. And as you said, it's more sociable, it's more engaging, and it's more fun. So I'd like to thank you both very much for coming on. Can I get that sentence out once without stuffing it up? No, apparently I can't. But thanks very much, guys, and I guess we'll enjoy National Volunteers Week. We really appreciate you being here, and I assume...
We absolutely do, and I'll see you on Friday.
Yes,
Friday for a volunteer party. Yay! This is Well on Joy 94.9. We are now joined by the president of Living Positive Victoria, Richard Keane. Welcome, Richard. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thanks, and thanks for having me in. And I just want to say before we start, I just want to give a nod to the amazing volunteers both at VAC and at Living Positive Victoria, as this is Volunteer Week. Organisations like ours just don't function without volunteers. It's an amazing thing that people give of themselves, and I think it's quite rewarding too, as we've heard from the last couple of people that were on your show. So I just wanted to say hi to all the people that take their time to volunteer for our organisations.
Well said, well said.
And so before we get into the Candlelight Memorial that we've got sort of got you on to chat about, can you let our listener know or get to know a little bit more about you and how long you've been the president of Living Positive Victoria and sort of a little bit of your backstory? What's the deal? So, what's happening?
I've been on the board for 4 years now at Living Positive Victoria. I've volunteered and worked within the sector over many years, and I sort of took a fair bit of time out, and I was actually facilitating a group at the Positive Living Centre, which was a peer-based mental health peer support group. I was leading that group for about 12 months, and I was thinking to myself, what's the next thing that I want to do? What do I want to try? What haven't I done before? And I thought to myself, you know what? There was a person in that group who was a former board member of Living Positive Victoria, and we had a few discussions, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to put my hat into the ring. And luckily enough, I had the support, particularly from people from PLC, from the members down there, who wanted me and really encouraged me to stand for that board to represent a voice that they felt was not being heard at that level. And that's people who, I guess, have a difficult experience living with HIV, that are marginalised in their community, and they felt like they weren't being heard. And I was really happy to take the voices of those people with me to the board. So, yeah.
And so that's actually how you got involved. It was kind of just lucky kind of coincidence that there was a board member there, because you're thinking about what next and you're already sort of running this support group or working with the support group. Yep. And sort of thinking, where can I sort of take this directionally and what sort of, I guess, additional assistance can I provide? So it's just mere coincidence?
I had been a member for many years, but yeah, to be perfectly honest, I probably hadn't engaged with the organisation for 5 years, and my membership, my address had changed, I hadn't renewed and all that sort of thing. And I just thought to myself, I was really looking for a challenge, and I guess I wanted to challenge myself because I wanted to re-engage with the skills that I'd been using as a worker in the sector, and I wanted to look at it from a different perspective. And I hadn't had much experience in governance before, so I thought the board was a really good chance to build my capacity.
And Richard, for anyone who may not know, what's the primary function of Living Positive Victoria?
Okay, so, wow, there's a few functions of Living Positive
Victoria. Yeah, if we could
Victoria.
Make that question
all in 20 seconds.
We will. So really, basically, it's about encouraging people living with HIV to engage themselves at every level of, participate at every level of the issues that affect their lives. So that includes everything up from volunteering through to paid work through to board roles like mine.
And so what are some of the main activities? Because obviously there's an organisation, you can kind of have like a sort of an umbrella sort of directional, this is what we want to do. But what are some of the main activities?
Our main activities are Positive Speakers Bureau.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we have an amazing array of speakers who go out and engage with community at schools, at Lions clubs, at different events. And you'll hear a couple of those speakers at the Candlelight Memorial Vigil this year. That sharing of lived experience has a really powerful effect to engage, empower and educate, which is the theme of this year's Candlelight Vigil.
And I'm proud to say we have them every time we do an induction with our volunteers, and it is a really powerful moment. Mm. Yeah, they do a great job.
And the other stuff that we do is about resilience building and community connectedness. So newly diagnosed workshops for Phoenix, and we work in collaboration with other organisations as well to deliver programs, and we work very closely with VAC, and we deliver programs with VAC like In the Loop, which is support for family, friends, partners and carers of people living with HIV. And we also work with Positive Women Victoria and Straight Arrows. We had our first Phoenix workshop for women a couple of weekends ago,
which
was really successful, and it's fantastic that an organisation like ours is looking at our programs and how we can make them accessible and relevant to all people living with HIV, not just men who have sex with men. Mm.
And so how long has Living Positive Victoria sort of been around? I mean,
26 years now. So originally we were part of VAC, and
yep,
historically in those early days we really did rely on our allies, our friends, our carers to advocate on our behalf. A lot of people living with HIV were very, very unwell in those early years.
Yeah.
And we really did need people to be a voice for us. But after effective treatments came in around 1996, there was a little bit of a split, and we started to feel like once we were well again that we wanted to start to speak for ourselves. So
yeah,
that was the impetus that drove that split in the first place. And even though I guess we are separate organisations, as I indicated before, we work really closely with our sector
partners. Hand and glove. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the actual International AIDS Candlelight Memorial Vigil, or however it's supposed to be phrased. I guess you can clarify that for us, Richard.
Joy. 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And I believe we've got some messages come through from a special listener. Is that right?
We have. The first message. Oh, they're both actually from the same person, from Tessie Marie of Reservoir. Saying, fantastic to hear the volunteers tonight. Cheers, Tessie Marie. And also, great to hear Richard, a remarkable man. Cheers. And that's also from Tessie Marie. Nice. So, hi, Tessie Marie. We loved that you listened to us. It's great. We love it.
So, Richard, what is, I suppose, let us know, what is the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial? That's what we're here to talk about.
Okay, so internationally, it's in its 33rd year. And the theme for this year, as I sort of indicated earlier on, was empower, educate and engage. Look, in Australia, and I have to be really careful about these history things here because as soon as you mention a name, you forget one. But there really was a small group of people, and I think if I get it right, around 1983, people like Tom Carter, Adam Carr and Phil Carswell in particular huddling together on one rainy night in May down near Fed Square there, the old Fed Square before it was built, and lighting candles in remembrance. And that's how it sort of started here and then built up very quickly.
And I think I even saw some pictures in MCV today, which are probably the ones you're referring to as well, which are fantastic to have.
Yeah, it really is. And look, as those who were around at the time would know, that as we reached up to the end of the 80s and into the early 90s, it was an absolutely huge event with 10,000 people annually coming along to that event. It was a time of, I guess, both community-wide and individual grief for a lot of people. So it was a real way of getting together and also showing that and drawing attention to what was going on with our community.
And so has, I guess, the purpose or the significance of the Candlelight Vigil or memorial changed over time?
Does
it still have that sort of that early days grassroots sort of heartfelt moments to it?
I think it always will for those people that endured that first horrible decade where there was really no hope and we were watching people get sick. I lost a partner. I lost a couple of close friends. So for me, it will always have that connection to it. But it has changed. And I see it now as a vehicle to draw attention to issues that still affect people living with HIV day to day in their lives, and also to engage and educate and inform the general community about the lives that we lead and some of the issues that we face.
And so why do you feel it's so important to observe this event each year? Because obviously there's a lot of different events in the calendar in relation to HIV and AIDS. Why is this one sort of, you've kind of sort of answered the question really, but there's so many different things that can be observed and we can sort of pay attention to and sort of dedicate focus and time. Why this one?
Well, there are. There's a lot. The calendar's chock-a-block when you look all the way through now with our community and the events that we hold. But for me, it's about that recognition of that time that was gone through before. It's an acknowledgement of those people that we've lost. It also raises awareness and sort of shines a light into those issues that still exist. A lot of people live with stigma and discrimination in their lives related to their HIV status. And I guess, as we spoke before, we've got a couple of really good HIV-positive public speakers who'll speak this year. And it's that way of engaging the broader community. It's picking up that traffic that's walking past, that stops, that's in there for some other reason on Sunday night and is just hanging around. And then they come over and it's a good opportunity to engage. And yeah.
So I suppose for people who don't know, what are some of the common issues facing people living with HIV?
Well, they're really broad because people living with HIV come from all sections of our society. For some people, it doesn't have that much of an impact as far as their health is concerned anymore with effective treatments and other things like that. But there's some psychosocial sort of impacts that have on it around stigma and discrimination. And that's not only from external sources, like how other people might react to you disclosing your status. That's internally as well about how I'm feeling about myself. Oh, did I deserve to get it because I messed up? Was it all my fault? No one deserves to get HIV, regardless of what sexual behaviour that they have. So I think that there's still issues around that impact on people.
And so how do you feel that we should be tackling the issues of stigma and discrimination towards people living with HIV? Obviously, I guess if we had the answer, we'd be able to do it. But I guess, you know, it's such a complicated issue, as you said, because people with HIV come from all segments of life, all walks of life, different backgrounds, different experiences. So what would you suggest, I guess, is maybe one or two of the main ways that we can sort of overcome these issues?
Yeah, so Living Positive Victoria have two programs I'd like to give a quick plug to. The first one's the Enough campaign. We have a number of people living with HIV and also, I guess, politicians, celebrities who've come on board as Enough Ambassadors, and that challenges stigma, enough.org.au, and you can click online there and see real stories of people's stigma and what they've gone through and maybe get some insights. And you can also sign the Enough Pledge to call out stigma and discrimination wherever you see it.
And so if people wanted to be, I guess, more involved or find out about the Candlelight Vigil and sort of where it's being held and how to register and RSVP and all of those pragmatic details, what's the best place for them to go to? What website or number can they call just to get all of the info that they need?
Terrific. You can have a look on our website at Living Positive Victoria, all one word, all very long, livingpositivevictoria.org.au, or you could give us a call at the office on 963-8733.
Fantastic. Well, Richard, thank you so much for coming on. I think we've kind of breezed over this huge thing quite quickly, and I think we could probably do like an entire couple of weeks on something like this. And it's fantastic. And I personally haven't been to one because I'd work at AIDS 2014, and I didn't get to go to the one last year. But I guess if you do have the opportunity to go down, see what it's about, chat to the people there. I think it's going to be a fantastic event. So
it'd be great to see everybody down there.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with everything. I hope it runs as smoothly and it's everything that you want it to be.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Love in the Dark by Adele. And sorry, listeners, whether you like it or not, I will always be playing an Adele song when I have the opportunity to do so. But, Daniel, can you believe we've actually come to the end of the show?
I know, I'm feeling a little bit less nervous now, so that's a
less
good thing.
Less nervous? Yeah. Oh, God bless ya. Well, I mean, the whole point was just to sort of get you on board, just have a chat about volunteers. So for anyone who's interested in volunteering at VAC, just what is the main contact number again, just to reiterate?
Sure. So get in contact with us. You can do that by calling the general number, which is 9865 6700. Ask to speak to Daniel or the volunteer coordinator. They'll put you through. Or otherwise, just send me an email, which is volunteers@vac.org.au, and I'll reply to those and let you know when the next info session's coming up.
And we'll put his direct line up on the Facebook page so that you can contact him anytime you like, 24 hours a day.
My direct number, was that right?
Yes, direct number.
Okay, thanks.
But this has been Well for another week, guys. So thanks very much, and thanks to the volunteers for coming in, and for Richard as well for coming and talking about the vigil. So
thanks for going easy on me, Adam.
Yeah. Just wait till next time. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.